wonderful life will not be seen this year. In its place is the following. Joker here. Greetings, Gotham, and Merry Christmas. I hope you're watching Batman. This one's for you.
It's the Geektastic Podcast. Welcome back to the Geektastic Podcast. As always, I am Patrick Roach, your host. This is the Christmas episode. Today, as we record this, is December 17th, around 7:25 in the evening. I have no idea when you're hearing this. But anyways, happy holidays, happy Christmas, or Hanukkah, or Kwanzaa, or Pagan Equinox, or whatever the hell you celebrate. I am joined tonight by Mr. Matt Jeffrey and Mr. Wesley Strother. And hey, guys, what's up?
What's up?
Baruch Hashem, all the Jews out there. Mazel tov.
Mazel tov. And so, anyways, we actually got a little bit of a discussion going before we started recording. We'll hop right back into that. We were talking about the Charlie Brown Christmas special, since this is the Christmas episode. So, Matt, you were making a point.
I don't know, Christmas episodes always suck.
Yeah. All right, so we're skipping that item on the agenda.
I mean, you kind of said though, Pat, when you described it in the agenda, you kind of said like Christmas episode slash like holiday special. There's plenty of holiday specials that are like awesome, so mm-hmm. We can talk about that. But I don't know, who cares about the Christmas episode thing?
Yes, I couldn't even think of any Christmas specials other than like the Star Wars one and the Pee Wee one that's currently like streaming.
What the fuck are you talking about?
You can see
the Charlie Brown Christmas special?
Yeah, well, that's the obvious. Like, that's the most generic, simple, basic one of all time. Like, everybody's going to know that one.
Well, yeah, no. So what?
You can't really... Yeah, but you can't... So you can't diss the Charlie Brown Christmas special. The amazing thing about the Charlie Brown Christmas special is what a dick everyone is to Charlie Brown. Like...
That's Charlie Brown in general. That's...
that's always... The very first comic strip ever was somebody just saying, I hate that guy.
I know, and that's what I'm saying, is that like that it like embodies so much of Charlie Brown that like even in the Christmas, the time where everyone is supposed to be like loving and giving, it's like, hey, look at this sad, pathetic tree I bought, and they're like, Charlie Brown, you're a blockhead.
I don't know. You know, the thing, though, is that like, you know...
It didn't matter that it was Christmas and that, you know, it's the season of giving and loving and being thankful and all those wonderful warm feelings. It was like, fuck you tree, Charlie Brown. You're ridiculous. Like,
well, it's realistic, dude. It's life, man. Like, I was at the mall today in Escondido, picking up Christmas gifts because I had to meet my sister there, picking up Christmas gifts for our parents and shit. And, like, people are mean during the holidays, you know? Like, they're even meaner than they are regularly during, like, you know, the rest of the year. Like the Charlie Brown Christmas special, like, they were just being accurate. That was 1963.
Just telling it like it is?
Yeah. Like, if people were dicks to Charlie Brown normally, imagine all the stress they were under during the holidays.
And that's really what it is. It's the stress. People are kind of just generally dicks all year round, but then you put them under like a time crunch, plus they have to spend a lot of money on family that they don't necessarily like, and they get all pissy.
I don't really know all the motivations, but people fucking forget like the season of giving and caring and all that shit really fucking quick. I don't know what their motivations are for it. I mean, we could sit here and theorize about it all day long, but you know. People are generally dicks during the holidays.
Yeah, this is true. But see, I'm of the belief that people are just generally dicks all year round. But that's just
I'm with you. I'm saying it's amplified during the holidays. So, I mean, they're dicks to Charlie Brown. I mean, that's just accuracy.
So what you're saying is it's the most accurate Christmas special of all time.
Yes.
Really, I feel that Christmas Vacation really captures the holidays well. Like when you just cram a bunch of people who don't get along into a house.
Mm-hmm. So that's a Christmas movie, though. That's it's not movie. Like a special. But no, you're totally right. I'm with you 100% on that. Mm-hmm. But we're like on the subject of specials. I'm going with Charlie Brown, and you brought it up earlier, Wes, when you said, you know, he brings that tree, and it's a sad, pathetic little tree, and Charlie Brown's mindset is like. Like, you know, I feel sorry for this tree. No one else is picking it. You know, it's like the runt of the litter. I'm going to bring it. And that's all about the Christmas spirit, and I can make it beautiful and stuff. And, of course, in typical human being fashion, he brings it to them, and they fucking spit on him, right? I mean, like, I could totally see people doing that during the holidays. You bring home a tree, and it's not big enough, or it's not, you know, bright enough or green enough or whatever, right? So they're like, fuck you, Grinch. Get the fuck out of here.
I heard someone get someone at work with a Christmas joke, which I'd never seen before, and I was highly impressed. He said, well, what are your plans for Christmas to my boss, Jeff? And Jeff's like, oh, we're going to go visit the wife's family. And he's like, that's crazy. I thought you'd be stealing presents from who? I've never heard a Christmas diss before. Like, I was like, hey, that was a good holiday burn. Like,
that's pretty good, actually.
I think I've heard somebody use that, or at least something similar before, just the other day. Like, I can't remember where. It was fucking hilarious, though. That's great, Wes.
Yeah. Literally, that was the only thing I could come up with to talk about, like, tonight.
What I was noticing? I went to Toys R Us the other day to do some Christmas shopping. And, you know, like, well, my roommate's been watching a lot of Christmas specials, kind of forcing me to watch all these Christmas specials. And they're all, like, a half hour long, right? And then I was at Toys R Us the other day, and these half-hour fucking Christmas specials they're like $20 on DVD. I mean, not that you would ever buy them, because they come on TV like every year anyways, right? Mm-hmm. But if you wanted to, so you could have your like on-demand Charlie Brown Christmas, $20, $15.
See, here's the funny thing. The Charlie Brown Christmas special is available to stream on Hulu right now.
There you go,
dude. For free. It's on demand. For free, or you can pay $20 for a DVD. Whatever.
I don't know. I mean, that's just an example. The Grinch was, although to me, like the Grinch, like honestly, it's worth every penny. I don't care if the thing's 10 minutes long, it's worth every penny, you know? But Charlie Brown, that's a little steep, man.
Well, it may be for you, but like what the Grinch is for you, Charlie Brown might be for other people. So somebody else might be like, hey, that's totally worth every penny. But I don't know. That's not me.
I'm going to guess whoever that person is they're depressed right now, wherever they are.
So do you think there's a psychological argument to be made for the fact that the reason Charlie Brown's Christmas special is so popular is because people feel like Charlie Brown, because they always feel like the one that's being picked on?
I never really noticed how depressing the Charlie Brown Christmas special was until I read an article in Vice magazine about how, like, it led to, like, a redneck uncle, like, shooting out the TV. And it was because he was, like, so infuriated that they would watch this, like, depressing thing on the holidays, and then he was, like, drunk. And I was like, hey, he's crazy, and he was drunk, but he does have a point. That is depressing. So, I don't know. Like I said, I didn't notice it until then. But now that I can see it, I don't know if that's why I still watch it. I don't know. I think I watch it out of habit. Like a lot of things, I have a tendency to watch out of habit, like A Christmas Story.
I think a lot of people watch it out of habit as well. But I think that there's an interesting, at least, observation to be made of the American psyche when that's one of our most popular Christmas videos ever, and it's totally fucking depressing.
Anything Peanuts is depressing, though. Have you ever actually read the Life of Charlie Brown? Just in general.
This is
dude's got a fucked up life.
It's got a
dog. Not even his own dog likes him.
I was going to say, it's got a dog who doesn't like him. His friends make fun of him.
Every time he goes to kick that fucking football, Lucy pulls it right underneath his foot. He slips and hits his head, man. Big old head. He's balding, too. Was he like?
Yeah, he's a bald 8-year-old, which is the harshest. I think him and Kyle Gass have been the only bald 8-year-olds ever.
I was pretty close. I think I started around 15 or 16 myself.
So you feel Charlie Brown's pain, then?
And I have a big-ass head, too, so yes, I do.
Pat, even today you're not as bald as Charlie Brown was at 8. Like,
this is true. I mean, he's got like 3 strands
balding,
of hair.
He's balding before even fucking puberty.
So would you say he's balding, or the fact that he's never ever grown hair at all? He's just kind of been hairless.
Like he has alopecia?
Whatever that is.
I'm not Charles Schultz. I have no idea.
It's an inability to grow hair. Like you don't grow eyelashes and stuff either.
Yeah, I would say he suffers from that.
Yeah, you know, maybe that's it. Maybe that's the key, is that Charlie Brown has alopecia, which sucks even more because, you know, he's stricken with his disease. He'll have to wear glasses even if he has good eyesight.
Yeah, but you see, like, if there was a bald kid in school when you were, like, 8, let's be honest, everyone would make fun of him.
This is true. I remember seeing that happen in my elementary schoolroom.
I was saying, but this isn't the only depressing, Christmas related day. It's a Wonderful Life is depressing as hell, like right up until, you know, the end.
It's the story of a man who's contemplating suicide or trying to commit suicide.
Even The Grinch Who Stole Christmas is like, you know, first off, he hates the Who's, then he steals their Christmas, so then like it's double bad, and then like, you know, last second snaps out of it and decides to give him all the presents back and he's a hero. But like, you know, leading up to that, it's like it's
you guys didn't
loneliness,
see the
depression
freaking,
and thievery. Like,
you didn't see the freaking Big Bang Theory freaking episode at all? Nothing?
No, not yet.
No?
I'm usually a week or two behind.
Oh my god. Sheldon Cooper was like, on the contrary, I love the Grinch. I was totally with him on his plan up until he conformed to social convention and gave the Who's back their Christmas.
Nice. See, I think the depressing Christmas story goes back even farther, though. As far back as, like, I can think of, like, Charles Dickens and A Christmas Carol.
A depressing story. A Wonderful Life is just, like, a reinterpretation of that same story.
Yep. That whole thing of, like, the ghosts of Christmas future, like, and, like, Tiny Tim is dead, and everybody's dead, and people are sad, and, like, that's not exactly a happy story.
And those ghosts were dicks, man. And fucking Scrooge was a dick. Shit's fucking depressing, man.
Yeah, while we're talking about Charles Dickens, I always take a moment to point out that bat and humbug are two separate words. It's not bat humbug, it's bat and humbug.
Yeah, there's a space in between the two. Well, before we get entirely a whole podcast of depressing stories, let's talk about some happy stuff. Aside from the holidays, of course, we come across the end of the year and New Year's, and most people tend to look back on the year that was and kind of rank some stuff, what they liked, what they didn't like. So we're going to do a little bit of that ourselves. We're going to have just an open discussion here of some of our favorite and least favorite things from 2009. Do you guys have any things that you really loved this year, like movies, TVs, comics, stuff that you really thought was like above and beyond, like awesome?
Batman Arkham Asylum.
I wish I could stop playing it. I can't stop playing it.
That is actually on my list as well. One of the two or three games that is on my list for this year is Batman Arkham Asylum.
That and Left 4 Dead 2.
Have you seen the trailer for Arkham Asylum 2?
Yeah, I haven't seen the trailer for it yet, but I heard that it was being made.
Yep, it's just a teaser.
The trailer, they had, I recorded the Video Game Awards. I unfortunately couldn't attend it. Mm-hmm. I did get an invite from the Scream people or whatever, there. But I couldn't attend it because I was just too busy with work and everything. Mm-hmm. During the holidays, I just knew I wasn't going to be able to get that time off or whatever, you know? Yeah. So, Anyways, but I recorded the Video Game Awards, and it opened with the Joker. It's not actually the Joker because, you know, he's an animated thing, but talking to the audience, and then they show the trailer for the game, which hints that it's going to take place outside of Arkham.
Yeah, it's going to be downtown Gotham, it looks like.
And they show the Iceberg Lounge, which is the Penguin's club. So I'm assuming that the Penguin will actually be make an appearance in the game.
They also had a Harvey Dent poster.
Mm-hmm. They did, you're right.
There will probably be some Two-Face thrown in there.
And they had, like, the Black Mask, something that hinted towards the Black Mask, like his mask in there, too. Anyways, it would be nice to see other villains.
Yeah. But, yeah, for this last year, Arkham Asylum, I think my friend Aaron summed it up best when he said that that game is better than it has any right to be. Like, you wouldn't think that a game about Batman would ever be that good, considering, like, the mediocre to crap level games that we've gotten of Batman over the last 25 or 30 years. And then this thing comes out of nowhere, and it's just, like, one of the most amazing things I've ever played.
I was at Matt's one time, and we were talking about it, and I said it's the Batman game that I always pretended I was playing when I played other Batman games.
When you were playing, like, the Batman Super Nintendo, like, side-scroller?
No, I'm talking about when I was playing the Batman, like, 2 AAA batteries in the back LCD screen, like, $5 game.
Oh, the ones by Tiger Electronics?
Yes. while what I actually was playing was going, like, like, in my head, I was playing Arkham Asylum. Like,
I think we all were. So this was like the fulfillment of dreams this year. Aside from Arkham Asylum, what other things did you guys like?
Left 4 Dead 2.
A solid one. I myself have been obsessively playing Assassin's Creed 2, like the last month.
Just a I don't have that.
Really good game.
Assassin's Creed 2. I would very much like to play it. I haven't really even delved into the first one just yet because I just bought it.
Yeah, definitely suggest playing the first one first because the story is a direct continuation, and if you don't play the first one, you'll have no idea what the hell is going on.
I really don't like the sci-fi aspect of, I mean, like the fact that you're some guy in modern times.
Yeah, you're actually a dude in the future.
Yeah, it's stupid.
I actually dug it. At first, I didn't like it, but as I got through the rest of the game, I actually kind of liked the story and how where they were going with it. And they've definitely expanded upon that, because in the second game, you're still the same guy. Even though you're playing a different ancestor of his, like 500 years later, you're still the same guy in the future. And as they get the story deeper and deeper, I'm just amazed at like how much detail they've thrown in. So I actually don't mind that anymore.
Interesting.
But, yeah, there was a couple of things. Like, there was a couple of movies this year that I thought were really cool. Overall, this year, I think movies were kind of not as good as last year. Like, this summer was kind of lame, and throughout the year, we only got stuff every now and then. But, like, for me, Star Trek and District 9 were, like, the greatest things of this year.
Zombieland.
Zombieland is also a good one.
Zombieland is probably the best movie I've seen I saw all year.
And
I was.
Go ahead, Matt.
I was really pissed off at movies this year. I mean, I you know, honestly, to tell you the truth, after last year, with, you know, The Dark Knight, The Hulk, Iron Man. I don't have to go on, you know, but you know what last year's summer was like, right? After last year's summer, I really didn't think. I mean, of course, we all knew it wasn't going to live up to it, right? But I had some high hopes for Wolverine and Terminator and all that stuff, and it's just like, what? Really? That's it? That's the best you can do? Like, Wolverine was just like, it wasn't that bad of a... I mean, if you take aside the Deadpool thing, right? it wasn't that bad of a movie. But then you remember that it's Wolverine and he deserves so much better.
Yeah, it wasn't horrible. It's just, it's one of those things that we all walked out thinking about the film that we could have seen.
I mean, it was like a dumb action film, and it was like, oh, that's fun. But like then after you like leave and you think about it for like a couple weeks and you kind of let it stew, and you know, you swish it around in your mouth a little bit, you're like, wait a minute, no. No, 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 no. Wolverine should have been 8 billion times better than that. He deserves better.
You know, he's Marvel's Batman. He's the, like, quintessential badass of their universe. They stick him in everything that they need to, like, make good. He should have, like, he should have at least been given that level of respect.
Guest starring Wolverine.
Everything is guest starring Wolverine. You know, yeah.
I think every comic that Marvel put out in the 90s had either guest starring Wolverine or guest starring the Punisher.
Yeah. It's true. It did deserve so much better. And the exact same thing about Terminator Salvation. See, you could say the exact same thing. It's just that, like, it wasn't a bad movie, but it was...
See, what depressed me about Terminator Salvation... was I thought it looked beautiful. I thought that Mick G actually had a really cool style. The way that the machines looked, the way that like the future looked all sort of like washed out and like just dystopian future, I thought was great. They just had no story to go along with this beautiful setting.
It had great actors, great sets and props and fucking cinematography, but fucking flat story, you know?
And some of it was, like, just kind of stupid stuff that you think anybody that, like, was watching the making of the film would go, hey, guys, shouldn't we think about this? Like, as awesome as that gigantic, like, human-grabbing robot is that shows up outside that gas station, it's a gas station out in the middle of nowhere. You don't think they would hear a giant 50-foot robot coming from, like, 5 miles off?
No, of course not.
Well, I don't know. Just, like, to me, it was just, like, the whole storyline about taking an ex-con and making him part machine and then, you know, at the end, Helena Bonham Carter is, she's like, plays a computer that's talking to him and is literally looking right at him and telling him where he came from. And it's one of those moments where they might as well just be looking right at the audience and telling them what's been going on for the last 2 hours.
Hitting the audience with a giant clue hammer. Here's what's going
on. She might as well just stepped out of the screen and said, hey, look, idiots, you didn't get it? This is what's been happening in the last 2 hours. And it's either the audience is idiots or they're idiots because they didn't do a good enough job of explaining it, right? Mm-hmm. And I think... They're guilty of the second thing, you know, of not, you know, having a good enough story to explain it to you as to where they actually have to tell you what happened at the end. They have to look right at the audience and be like, because we're not very good at telling stories, here's what's been happening for the last 2 hours. And I just wanted to kill myself. I was just like, this has nothing to do with all the things I love about the Terminator films. This is like, this could have been another sci-fi film. That particular aspect of the storyline, the ex-con turned into a robot thing, you know?
The only film that made me really want to, well, there was two films that made me want to kill myself this year while I was watching them. And that would be Transformers 2 and G.I. Joe. Like, yeah, it's a good thing I didn't have razor blades on me while I was watching that film. I would have just been sitting there in the theater just slicing wrists. Just saying,
oh, Transformers... Man,
sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to say, Transformers 2 has to be number one in the things I hated about the year. Wolverine and Terminator Salvation were just disappointments, you know?
Yeah.
I was expecting Transformers to be a big pile of crap, you know? And it turned out to be just an even bigger pile of crap, just a giant turd.
Wes?
Oh, I was just going to say that I wasn't really as disappointed with G.I. Joe as I thought I was going to be because I expected it to be, like, I don't know, a show that, or a movie that, like, the version of Wes who played with G.I. Joes would actually have enjoyed.
But, yeah, I was going to say, like, the only reason that I didn't hate G.I. Joe as much as Transformers is because Transformers came out first and it really set the bar for how bad things could get. And I don't think G.I. Joe really met that bar. Like, it was bad, but it wasn't as bad as Transformers 2.
Yeah, I think I told Matt, like, on a scale from Transformers 2 to Wolverine Origins, like, it gets a 5. Like, it was right in between those two movies.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I can't get angry at it because it's just not, you know, I didn't really expect anything from it. Like, I expected, like, what I would do if I was given a bunch of G.I. Joes and they said they made a movie out of what I did with them, you know? Like, oh, I'm going to do triple backflip over a bus and then smash through this and then blow up the Eiffel Tower. Like, that's what I would do if you put the toys in front of me. So yeah. They just, I guess if you translate that onto the big screen, it looks exactly like the movie looks.
So what you're saying is that the screenwriters were about 8 years old.
Yeah, exactly.
That I'll actually accept. I think that's a solid argument.
Well, yeah, it's the same guys who did Van Helsing and the freaking Mummy movies, which the first Mummy movie was awesome, but, I mean, Mummy Returns and Van Helsing, yeah, they look like they're made by 8-year-olds.
Yeah, I don't get it, too, because, like, the original Mummy is one of my favorite movies of all time. Like, that's just, like, a perfect kind of just cheesy action-adventure film. I love
the guy
that.
Who... When that one's more like for like a, I mean, it's awesome. I love it. It's great. But it's kind of like a, more like a 13 or 15 year old made it, you know, like, mm-hmm. like that kind of fun. And then like, when you get to the Mummy Returns, it's like a drooling 5-year old made it.
Yeah. Every you know? Film that Stephen Sommers has made since then has just been so like craptastically horrible. And I don't get... He had his one moment of brilliance, and he's spent. Like, he shot his load, he's done. And that's just sad, but whatever. Like, but, yeah, Transformers, I knew it was going to be bad. Like, I liked the first one okay, I guess. Like, it wasn't great. I was surprised it was fun. But I really didn't expect a lot out of the second. And it was even worse than any expectation I could have ever had for it. I want to know how much they spent... How much, like, of the budget, like, there was a $300 million budget or something like that, right? How much of that budget was spent just animating Devastator's balls? Because you know they had to render that shit.
You could probably, you know, pull, like, an African nation out of, like, you know, their depression based upon the amount of money they spent on Devastator's balls.
They spent more money just animating that than I will probably ever make in my entire life.
They probably spent more money than any of us will ever make in our entire life trying to get the two dogs to hump each other.
Oh, yeah. Oh, Michael.
It's unfortunate they couldn't spend enough money to explain how they got a robot into college, into his dorm.
I love that story too. That's like the worst Decepticon plan of all time. How are we gonna like get this information from Sam? Well, okay, well, just in case he gets accepted to this college, we'll have this girl apply to college, actually get enrolled in classes. We're gonna have to probably apply for financial aid because I don't know where we're getting the money to put her up.
and it's probably not just at that college. They probably had to put one in like every college that he could have been accepted to.
Yeah, because he applied multiple places. You know, they had to keep an eye on where he was applying.
So for each application he sent out, there's another, like, there's a disappointed Decepticon fembot, like with a tentacle tongue that's like, oh, well, not me today.
They did one thing right. I mean, you know, they figured out that Sam Witwicky likes stupid slutty bitches, right?
Well, that's why he's dating Megan Fox in the film, yeah.
Yeah, that's why he's dating Megan Fox in the film. They were like, damn, that chick nasty. Well, Decepticon, make sure you look nasty too, right? Otherwise, we're not snagging that fucking Sam Witwicky guy.
Do you think that the Decepticon also had hammer thumbs then, like Megan Fox has?
And pockmarks on her face, probably. And then she says stuff that, you know, makes women ashamed that they even have a vagina. And there you go. Sam Witwicky will fall head over heels.
So we know his type.
You know that yeah, but at that point in the movie, I was just like, you know, things were just going so bad. I knew they were going to go bad. I didn't know they were going to go that bad. And I was like, you know what would make this movie worse? If that chick that's making out with them on the bed right now, if she turned into a robot. And then I was like, oh, they're not fucking doing that, are they?
It's a transformer that transforms into a human.
Can I leave now? Oh, we're only half hour in. Can I please leave?
Oh, we're half an hour in. So it's like another hour and we're done. And then
no,
two and
this
a half hours
and a
later.
Half hours long, yeah.
Jesus Christ, man. Another hour and a half of like a military like recruitment film.
See, Michael Bay.
I thought I was watching that Army Reserves like commercial before the movie with Kid Rock playing in the background like.
My name is Warrior.
What's up?
The one that they show before movies now.
Yeah, with
Three Doors Down. I was like, wait a second, this is still Transformers and not one of those propaganda things trying to get me to join the army, is it? Like, we didn't just rewind the film.
And the answer is yes.
Both.
It's both.
It's both, I know.
See, what saddens me is I think that Michael Bay actually would have made a pretty decent G.I. Joe film. That's actually what he was trying to make with Transformers.
He should have just made a G.I. Joe film.
Yeah, a whole military film. Give that man like access to like military characters and he'll make an awesome army film.
I would have given for everything that happened in G.I. Joe if Cobra Commander just used the Cobra Commander voice.
or had the right mask on at any point in the film.
I'd have forgiven that, too. Like, I'd have forgiven everything completely if at any point he just went, Cobra Commander! Like,
Cobra!
Destro had a silver head. Like,
mm-hmm. Oh, well. What else was there that you loved or hated out of this year?
Watchmen.
And which category does that fall into?
What do you mean?
I loved it.
I thought it was great.
I did enjoy. I liked the director's cut, too. I haven't seen, like, the Uber Ultimate Edition with everything edited in, like, with the...
Oh, man, I want that for Christmas so bad. The Blu-ray edition with the... Tales of the Black Freighter cut into it.
I have heard very good things from like my friend who has seen it, but it's like 4.5 hours long. That's like an investment of time. I don't know. Like that's like a tour of the night never.
I'm breaking up with everyone I've ever known. Friends, girlfriends, parents, family members if I don't get that for Christmas.
Yeah, everybody's on notice.
Relationship dissolved with everyone.
Watchmen motion comic.
It's got well, the Watchmen motion comics included on there too.
That was the highlight of the year for me.
I've still only seen parts of that. I did enjoy it though. I wish they had a full cast for it, not just one guy though.
Not the guy doing the voice.
Yeah, like him doing like the conversation voice for everybody. So the Night Owl is talking to Silk Spectre, and he's like, "So, Silk Spectre, how are you?" "Oh, well, I'm doing quite well."
Yeah,
and you're like, "Wait, what?"
Oh, that's on there, really?
One guy does the entire cast.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
God, Wes had me so pumped up for it too.
Yeah, I think that was the only thing detracting from it. I think that if they had a full voice cast, it would have been absolutely perfect.
It would have been. The Max cartoon.
Oh, which came out on DVD, by the way. The Max cartoon came out
on DVD.
They released it on DVD. It's an Amazon exclusive. You have to order it online. But the entire series of both the Max and the Head, if you remember the Head from MTV.
Of course I remember the Head.
Both of those just came out on DVD last Tuesday.
Oh my God. Really?
I have a bootleg DVD of it, but like, I mean, to have an actual copy of it would be astounding.
Yeah,
I wonder if it includes the episode with Hammerhead in it.
Oh, I know, because that was edited out of the VHS release.
Yeah,
I do not know. I will find out because my boss gave me a $25 Amazon gift card for Christmas, and the very first thought in my head was, "This will be used to buy the Max."
Awesome. My Bloody Valentine 3D.
Oh, that film was great. I actually really liked that film. That was back in February. I forgot about that.
Hell yeah. It was so awesome. Man, I wish they would just play it in the theater again so I could go see it with the 3D glasses in the theater and then cheer when they kill stupid people and then laugh and the whole audience like catches on to my laughter and starts laughing along with me and like it goes like in a like a domino effect. You can hear it through the whole theater.
Contagious laughter.
And inappropriate times, you know?
I also love that in our theater we had some guy in the random back corner during the sex scene that yells out, "Yeah, 3D boobs." I thought that was great.
Did you go with me, Pat?
I was sitting right next to you as you were making the entire theater laugh.
Oh, yeah, that was awesome, dude.
Has anyone seen Avatar yet?
It comes out tomorrow.
No, I'm probably going to go tonight and see it at midnight. You want to go?
Yeah, actually, I do want to go. When is it?
Tonight.
Tonight at midnight.
Oh, it's tonight at midnight?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, no, I can't go.
Yeah.
IMAX screen in Temecula now, man.
They have an IMAX now?
Yeah.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I will probably see it sometime early next week.
I'm probably going to go tonight if they're still selling tickets. They were still on sale a few hours ago, but I had to record this podcast. So I didn't get a chance to run over and grab tickets.
I heard it got 95% on Rotten Tomatoes.
On Metacritic, gave it universal acclaim.
Nice. See, I'm hoping, I'm actually really hoping it's good because everything that I had seen from it made me kind of questionable. And so the fact that it's getting good reviews gives me hope. I actually really do want to like it, but everything
I've
seen so far makes
me
go, man.
You were bashing the whole thing because, you know, James Cameron had said, like, it's going to be the greatest thing of all time ever and change filmmaking as you know it. And Wes and I kind of talked about that particular view of the film, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And we came to a conclusion, and it's a great conclusion.
Okay.
Look at the guy's track record.
I know. I'm not saying...
Every time the guy makes a film, it changes the way films are made. If anything... That's a very ballsy, cocky thing for a son of a bitch to say, and you want to smack the guy when he says it. But you know what? If anybody has the room to fucking say it, it's that
Cameron.
Fucking guy.
Yeah,
right?
You go back and you look. It's like you look at The Abyss and you go, oh, you know, when The Abyss came out, everyone was running around like their head was on fire, screaming. And, you know, the way movies are made has changed forever. And then, you know, and then Terminator 2 came out and, it, you know... Oh my God, the way movies are made are never going to be the same. And then fucking Titanic came out and it was like, holy crap in a box. The way movies are made is never going to be the same. And then finally James Cameron came out himself for the first time, you know, said it himself. He was like, you know, this movie I just made, Avatar, it's going to change the way movies are made forever. And it like, the guy's done it like four times, three, you know, yeah, four times already. Aliens, fucking Abyss, Titanic, Terminator 2, Terminator. He's done it so many times. Like, this is the only time when he's actually had the balls to go, oh, yeah, no, I really did it this time.
So I'm hoping he's right. I do. Don't get me wrong. I want to see a sci-fi film that's just fucking amazing. Like, and I'm hoping I do. But I still have my worries. So, I will be the first person. If I walk out of that film with my mind blown, I will be the first person on the next podcast to go, "Oh my God, it's the most fucking amazing thing ever." So,
well, I heard
we'll
that
see.
Like everything it's like everything he's made up until this point is like, you know, you see it in this film, like because he, you know, this is the film that he's wanted to make since he was like 14 years old, right? Another quote that we hear all the time about this. This is the film, but like. You know, people who watch it are like, it's got the mech suits and it's got the explosions and it's got this and it's got that and it's got, you know, it's got elements of Aliens and it's got elements of Terminator 2 and it's got elements from everything he's ever made before. But
it's got
like
elements from Titanic.
Yeah.
It's got like this incredible love story at the heart of it, according to what the reviewers are saying, mm-hmm. that the love story at the heart of the whole thing is this extremely heartfelt love story. Reminiscent of fucking Titanic, you know? So even the fucking chicks will be happy.
The description that I got from a friend of mine who saw it was, imagine the anticipation that you felt like leading up to Revenge of the Sith, and just the opening scroll has finally gone by, and all of a sudden, out of nowhere, your girlfriend decides to give you a blowjob, and then that space battle starts. Well, that's how I felt watching Avatar.
Wow, that is a very glowing review.
I was like, wow, I couldn't imagine. Like, I imagined how blown away I was and how emotional I was when I first saw that space battle. I wonder what it would have been like if I was getting head at the time. Like,
it's like the only way that scene could have been better.
I was like that blown away. He was like, it's on the same scale as that like opening space battle, but you get to watch it in 3D, like on top of that. And it's like, for some people, like 3D is a headache machine, but you know, for this, like when you watch it, I'm dying to see it. Like I everything that everyone's saying about it, like, it's just killing me.
Yeah. I will go see it and I'll write my review for the site. And I am going to go like with hope. So like, I want to walk out like screaming how awesome it is.
But, you know, to be honest with you, like, I wasn't too excited about it up until recently. And that was just because I don't know, like, it just didn't look all that interesting to me until like more and more stuff started coming out about it. And then all of a sudden I was like, oh, it's fucking James Cameron. How can it be not good? You know? How could you not be excited about it? It just
looks kind of meh to me. Like,
it looked that way at the beginning, and then like more stuff started coming out, more reviews, things sort of started hit me on the head, and I was like, wait a second, Matt, this is something to be excited about, you know? And now I just can't help it. I'm ready. Let's do this. I want to know.
You know? Like, okay, I
don't often
maybe
feel
it's
like
entirely
this.
Just a personal thing, but like the blue aliens just creep me out. Like, it's like, you know those like comic books that like we saw in like the 90s are probably still around with like the cat people, like they're like anime kind of girls, but they're like cats at the same time. Mm-hmm. It's like fucking furry comics. Mm-hmm. That's what the Avatar aliens look like to me, and I can't get that out of my head. Whenever I see them, all I go is like cat people comic books.
I've actually heard it like described as one of the greatest like future sources for furry porn parody like ever created.
And it's designed to kind of like, not specifically like, you know, to be furry, but like they designed, I actually like was reading things online of James Cameron like and people on the set saying that like they kept kind of changing the character designs over and over, especially the girl, because the idea was they wanted something that was definitely alien but fuckable. Like that was literally what they were going for. Like, James Cameron was like quoted by a number of people on set walking up to people like showing them designs and go, would you want to sleep with this? It's a fucking furry film. And I'm hoping I can get over that when I watch it, but I don't know if I'll be able to.
Yeah, and James Cameron made a chick flick called Titanic, and I went and saw it on a date. Like, you know, the dude knows what he's doing.
I know. Like, don't get me wrong, he's a fucking master. Like, I can't even begin to, like, downplay his credentials. So I'm going to walk in, like, with fingers crossed and hoping, and, like, I want to walk out raving, but I'm going to be honest if I don't like it either. So we'll see.
Well, I guess you got to look at it from the standpoint of, like, he's probably trying to make it believable. That's probably his whole thing, you know? Because you got this guy in, like, a wheelchair or whatever who uses this avatar, right? And then he meets this other, Smurf or whatever, right? And the two of them, like, fall in love. So James Cameron was probably like, you know, would you want to fuck this thing? Like, I got to make it believable, you know? It can't just look like Jar Jar, right?
Mm-hmm. Like, 'cause nobody wants to fuck Jar Jar.
Yeah, I mean, like, if you're going to hook yourself into this avatar, this, you know, it's like they grow this alien or whatever for you to control through your mind or whatever, like the Matrix, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the story is that he falls in love with the other chick or whatever, right? So yeah. It's got to be something that a human being would want to fuck, right? I'm not behind that idea at all, But I get where he's coming from.
Yeah.
You know? Because to also, make it believable for the audience, you know?
Just also from a filmmaking standpoint. Enough. Yeah, from a filmmaking standpoint, you have a human audience that has to actually care about the character's romance. So in order for an audience to care about the characters, you need to make them at least in some way, shape, or form desirable.
Yeah, it wouldn't really work if it was like... He puts the avatar thing, and then all of a sudden they're like all Chewbaccas or something.
It's funny you go Star Wars. My instant thought was like the Jabba the Hutt love story.
Well, yeah, what? I mean, whatever, dude. I don't know, man. I'm trying to think. Like, I'm not like behind. We all know that I'm not like behind interspecies erotica or anything like that. We know that I am adamantly against it, but I kind of understand like where he'd be like, no, I got to make this a little bit believable, you know? So, I don't know. I'm not saying I would fuck an avatar or anything like that, but I get where the guy's coming from.
Yeah, so we will definitely discuss this further after we've seen the film. Like, the next podcast, perhaps, we'll do a review for it. But, yeah, so...
I don't know.
Yeah, I know. I'm just trying not to see it as a furry film, but I really can't help myself. But we'll see. Anyways, we're kind of getting close to the end of our time here, but before we close out, what things in 2010 are you guys looking forward to?
Iron Man 2.
Did you check out the trailer yet?
Yes.
Wes, have you seen the trailer yet?
I haven't. I've been snowboarding this week.
I will post a link in the show notes as well. The Iron Man 2 trailer came out either today or yesterday. I forget. Dude, it's fucking amazing. It's like everything that you wanted to see in the next Iron Man film. Like, Tony Stark is playing up the fact that he's Iron Man to the hilt, doing fucking like award show keynote speeches almost in the costume. It's like, fuck yeah, that's what I want to see.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to a couple things, actually. They've got the new Nightmare on Elm Street coming out, and Wolfman looks really cool as well with Benicio del Toro.
Yeah,
that does look cool. I'm looking forward to seeing more of the stuff when it comes to Spider-Man 4, because I really like how Scarlett Johansson looks in that costume. And I know that it's both been reported that it's on indefinite hiatus and not on indefinite hiatus. I just want to see more production stills of Scarlett Johansson in that costume.
I think we all do. I don't think it's coming out in 2010. It's probably 2011. But I'm saying not that one, but the one I was thinking of next is the Pride and Prejudice and Zombies film with Natalie Portman.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh my god, I can't. I hope that's Christmas 2010, but I know it's not gonna be. Like, it's gonna be sometime
Tron.
In 2011. Oh, Tron. Fuck yeah, Tron.
Legacy. Tron Legacy.
Dude, that poster made me cry when I saw it. It looked so beautiful.
We have to wait an entire year for that. I mean, it's not like it's coming out in the summer, dude. We gotta wait till right now, next year.
Yeah, 12 podcasts from now, we will be discussing it's coming out tomorrow.
I don't remember when they said they're coming out, but
it's Christmas.
Zombieland 2 Jackass 3, both in 3D, are starting filming soon.
I did hear about the Zombieland in 3D. I think that's so cool.
Yeah, zombies in 3D.
Especially with those writers, because you know they're going to play up the 3D to the hilt. It's going to be hilarious.
The opening sequence of Zombieland in 3D, like the first Zombieland in 3D, like would be amazing. So
yeah,
that their mind already works like that. Like, it's just going to work so well in 3D.
Any other things
I'm with you on the Nightmare on Elm Street. Also, I just found out about it today. I didn't really even know about it, but I don't know if there's even a trailer yet. I'll have to look, but Ridley Scott is making a Robin Hood movie.
Yeah, the trailer did come out. I did see that the other day, starring...
Russell Crowe?
Yeah, thank you. I was going to say guy from Gladiator. Looks interesting. I think it looks cool. It's another one of those like realistic historical takes on the character, kind of like what... they did that one King Arthur one with, God, I'm completely blinking on his name. The guy who played Dwight.
Clive Owen?
Yeah, Clive Owen. Thank you. Clive Owen did that one King Arthur Camelot film, which I enjoyed, but nobody else did. but they're doing that sort of thing with Robin Hood, so it's like the historical basis of the figure, which looks kind of cool.
Cool. Well, I don't know. I always loved Robin Hood as a character. I mean, honestly, I think like Robin Hood and like Peter Pan, like you can't make enough movies out of those characters for me. Like, and the more realistic, the more I'd like love them. Like, seriously.
I don't know. See, I still think my favorite Robin Hood was the Disney one.
Nah, man, in my head, like, they still haven't even made the perfect Robin Hood movie.
I was going to say, you're not all about the Costner?
I love that one. That one was awesome, but I mean, it's not perfect to me. It's flawed.
I know.
It's kind of like Batman. Like, you never really got it until Christopher Nolan came along, you know? Like, the Batman movie that exists in your head was always way cooler than the one that they had.
Mm-hmm.
Like I'm waiting for my Robin Hood Begins.
You know what I'm a little sad about is I'm still looking forward to seeing Sherlock Holmes, but I want it to be a little bit more Batman-ish and a little less Iron Man-ish.
Yeah, I can see that. A bit more detective.
See, the thing is that Guy Ritchie's directing it, and look at that guy's track record lately.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I still, you know, you always have your hopes.
Oh, speaking of Batman, he's coming back next year in the comics. They're bringing Bruce Wayne back.
Oh, yeah, I saw that. Mm-hmm. I'm on board. Grant Morrison is writing it, and it's a 6-issue storyline where each issue he's in a different time period or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm on board. It's going to be awesome. I'm going to love it, blah, blah, blah. But I'm pissed that they're doing it so soon.
It's only been really 6 months since he's been gone.
I wanted them to go with Dick Grayson for a good couple of years. Like, a good couple of years. I mean, at least 3, you know? Something like that, just to make it mean something.
I think my original estimate when they supposedly killed Bruce Wayne was that he'd be back in about 2 years. This is even faster than my estimate was.
God.
But I think Matt captured it. I mean, to make it mean something, like, it should have at least been a year. At least a year. At least. If they wanted it to mean anything at all.
And I was so on board with the Dick Grayson, and I was loving every minute of it, and I'm...
If at the very least you could say, the year without Batman.
Yeah.
God, damn it.
I think that it would have been cool if, like, they'd played up, like, in every, like, interview or every possible, like, just, like, media outlet, like, DC and Warner Brothers presented a united front and said, oh, yeah, we have no plans to bring him back anytime soon. And just surprise people with it. Like, if you're, like, just have people thinking, oh, he's not coming back for years. Oh, they keep telling us in all these interviews, he's not coming back. It would have been this really awesome thing to have the fans honestly think that he's not coming back anytime soon.
That one just feels like Nightfall again. It just feels like the same fucking thing over again, right?
Like the death of Superman?
The what?
Like the death of Superman as well?
Well, yeah, but I mean, I read an article about Bruce Wayne coming back just today, and the guy who wrote the article was like, and when Bruce shows back up, is Dick Grayson really going to be willing to hand the mantle back over to him? And it's like, what? He's going to have to fight Dick Grayson for the mantle of Batman? Like, even if that is what happens, that's so stupid.
Yeah, Dick would never, like, do that.
I could see Azrael doing that, like, at the drop of a hat, but Dick Grayson? What? They're not going to do that. And if they do, like, I will burn DC to the ground. Never buy one of their books again. Dick Grayson fighting Bruce Wayne for the mantle of Batman? Is everyone on crazy pills? What the fuck?
Is everyone taking crazy pills? Yeah, I don't know. Any last thoughts before we close out? I think that's a good closing point right there.
Nope, I have a calculus to look forward to in 2010.
Ooh, calculus.
Calculus?
Yeah, calculus.
Why?
I have 2 years of calculus. I I enrolled as an electrical engineering major.
Oh, nice.
And when I took my assessment test, I tested for college level calculus, which cool. is great because I need that.
Yeah, you don't have to take any of like the prereq classes. That's good.
Yeah.
That's good.
Cool. Well, good luck to you there. I'm going to go ahead and close this out then. And I wanted to say thank you guys for joining us. Happy holidays to all of you. And in our next episode coming up, mid-late January, we're going to be doing a bit of a review of the decade that was. Since we are now in the second decade of the 21st century, we're going to take a look back. Especially, I want to take a look at some of the geek films and how like the superhero takeover of Hollywood has happened over the last 10 years. So look forward to that. And once again, happy holidays, guys. Merry Christmas. Happy Hanukkah. All that goodness.
Happy holidays, Pat.
Happy, merry holidays and Christmas and all that stuff, dude.
Yeah, I think the one I always use is like happy / merry Christmas Kwanzaa.
Christmas Hana Kwanzaa.
Yeah, Christmas Hana Kwanzaa. Festivus. Don't forget Festivus.
I like Happy Christmas ever since watching the Harry Potter movies. They
always say Happy Christmas.
Yeah, the British say Happy Christmas, and it just sounds so much classier.
None of this merry crap.
Yeah.
All right,
Happy Christmas.
Happy Christmas, everybody.
Happy Christmas.